Thank you, Lord. Something's happening in Isaiah 60 there. And, you know, I just want to talk for a few minutes about what's the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? And specifically, what's the purpose of our church? Okay? And I'm not talking about an institution here. I'm talking about a family. Again, I've said it many times, but he didn't teach us to pray, "Oh God, our CEO." He taught us to pray, "God, our Father." He's a father. We're his children. We're brothers and sisters, right? There's moms and dads. We're kingdom. We talk about where we've gone because when Angel goes, we go. As Tiffany moves, we move. And I think first and foremost, one of the things that God's called us to be is kingdom builders and a church on a mission. We're not just sitting here, but we're going somewhere. And in the New Testament, the Lord talked about Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, right? Well, Judea was like Chapel Hill or Durham for us. Samaria was like Wilmington, you know, the state, wherever, the region, and then, of course, and beyond throughout the earth. And, I mean, just this summer, last Sunday, Tiffany and Eva, where's Eva at? She's here somewhere. Where are you? Oh, she's hiding from me. They were led worship down at our church plant in Wilmington. And Patrick was there. And Grace and Mark were there. And Michael and Chiamaka, right? Am I missing anybody else? So that's our Samaria. Like going out. And I talked to Pastor Ryan this week. And he was like, God's building something. This was the best meeting we've had yet. You know, and you know, that's not just because of us, but it's because the Lord has knit hearts together as family and we're going to places. And as you were sharing that wonderful report, thanks, Angel, for doing that. That is really encouraging and really amazing. Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, and then Eva leaves this month for Ghana. And then Carly and Sarah are going to Taiwan this summer, and Chiamaka is going over to the circuit rider school. She's got some flyers out there on the table. Grab one of those. And Ben and Anna Grace are going to the Baja Peninsula of Mexico, West Mexico, the western side of the peninsula or the continent over there. And who else am I missing? And I'm going to me and Gabe. Where's Gabe at? Me and Gabe are going to Uganda in August to scout out with a friend who has a base there that we're already connected with and is asking for teams from River Life. So who else wants to go to Uganda and Africa? There'll be opportunities. There's going to be opportunities because the Lord is just breaking out, particularly Asia and Africa. I just see that. And you know, one of the things when you were talking, Angel, that I was thinking of is, you know, those times where you can kind of get in these seasons where you just have a harder time experiencing the presence of God. You might feel a little dry or you might, you know, maybe some things are happening. Go get away to another place like that. Go to a worship service. I've been to worship services where a church met under a tree in Zimbabwe. And with some of the greatest glory. And some of the most humble circumstances where Jesus loves to walk up and down or around the tree, whatever the situation might be. And this is Isaiah 60, and I just feel like it's such a great reminder. Like, listen, here's number one. The greatest purpose of the church is to host the glory of God. That's the greatest purpose. That's the goal, in fact. We are the body of Christ. What is a body if my spirit is not present in the body? Then I'm just a shell. I'm just the body. I'm not the soul and the spirit. What is the church if the church is not hosting the glory, the presence of the one who created it? The presence of God is the most primary thing for the church. And sometimes institutionally, we have gotten away from that. We have not gotten away from it intentionally, I don't believe, but just sometimes we've forgotten about it.
Like, this is the goal. This is the primary. Everything else is secondary because everything else comes out of a hosting of Him. A hosting of His glory. And, you know, you may be familiar with this, but Isaiah is prophesying about something that is returning to these who have been exiled for 70 years. And they would be coming back. That's the near application of Isaiah 60. But there's also a far application, and that's for us now. And just three verses. It's, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord." Everybody say, "Glory of the Lord."
Glory of the Lord.
The glory of the Lord is doing what? It's risen upon you. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." How many know you don't have to be prophetic to see that? It's a little dark out there. "The darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness people." Lord, help so many people in deep, deep darkness. It's like they don't even know how to get out. "But the Lord," but God, "but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." The purpose of the church is to host us. What is His glory? It's His presence. It's everything about Him. It's everything that you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read this man, God, who walked the earth and went about doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, feeling a heart of compassion for the outcasts. You know, you weren't supposed to touch lepers. You know, you weren't supposed to be around them, but He puts His hands on that which is untouchable. You're not a good religious Jews didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. It was an ethnic feud, an ethnic difference there. But where does Jesus go? Well, not only does He go up to Samaria, it's a region between the northern and southern parts of the Jewish nation. Not only does He go to Samaria, but He sits down at a well with who? With a woman. With a woman who in first century Palestine was considered to be lower than, unfortunately. But that's the reality of the historical record. And Jesus is always going there. That's what God wants to do in our hearts, because His glory, His presence is with us. We can go to the least of these, to even stop for the one, like the guy on the road. This is one of the main roles of the church, is to host the glory, even with our world being in deep darkness at times. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. And sometimes we come up with good solutions, but I believe first and foremost, out of His presence will come some answers, will come some breaking of chains. Amen? As I talk about the glory and His presence, sometimes there's a thought that creeps in. Well, how is this practical? What does this do for me practically? And I just want to encourage you, this is the most practical message that I could ever give you. Because it's Him. Jesus is the answer. His presence is Him. It's everything. He has all the answers to the issues of every issue in life is found in Him. Amen. It's found in His presence. And, you know, as people, we have just gotten, like Sarah and our kids and I'll just speak for us, over our lives of just living in His presence, we've just been completely undone by the presence of God. And when I say undone, I mean in a good way. I mean in a wrecked way. I mean in a way to where there's just been so many key moments of just His glory filling the room. Not just in a meeting, but also in other, you know, our closet or, you know, whatever. Our shower. Where His presence just comes And it's the only way I know how to describe it is it's like it unlocks something in you. It's like that. It's like he took his heavenly key and unlocked something in my soul. And all of a sudden I begin to discover who I really am. And when I discover who I am because I see who he is, it's just unlocked something in me. And it's made me so hungry for just more of him. It's just like this girl right here, you know, that almost 24 years ago, I just wanted to be around her. Does anybody who ever fell in love know what that feels like? You just want to be around her all the time.
All the time.
And back in the day, when we weren't around each other, we were on the landline telephone. Like, spending all night talking. You know, just on the phone, I just want to be around her because, well, you know, how do you describe that? For hours. And I still feel that way. Like we just want to be. But I'm just using that as a simple illustration to see this is what the Christian life is. Don't ever let anybody convince you otherwise. It's not how many rules you can follow, how many principles you can line them up and get them all right. Are there principles to a good marriage? Absolutely. But if I just live by principles alone, what kind of marriage is that? No, I live by relationship. I live by communication. I live by being present in the moment. And that is the power of the presence of God. And in this church, we want to do the best that we can in grace to host him, to try to follow him in his leading and what he's doing. Thanks to Jamar and Ben for giving a good shot this morning.
That's right.
Like, you know, yeah, I mean, that's one of them was like, man, everybody who does this makes this look easy. This is not easy to do. It's not easy to do. You get in front of people. But anybody who does public speaking and teaching knows that. But, you know, this isn't a production. Lord, help us if this just turns into a production or a performance. I don't want to be up here performing for y'all because I'm going to let somebody down. Because I'm just not that good. You know, I'm just really not that good. But if we can connect with him, if we can connect with his heart, there's the answers to all, like I said, all of the issues of life. Because his glory is there. And, his presence contains parenting answers about issues in your marriage, your business, your investments, management principles. We try to as a family, and please do not blow this up to be like we're super spiritual people. No, no, we just learned through 20 something years, like, okay, let's try to make every decision out of seeking his presence. Like, okay, Lord. Like, we were sitting on the deck this weekend chatting about something, and Sarah just goes, let's pray. You know, like, okay, you go ahead. You know, and we just begin to pray. She just begins to pray about something. Sometimes it doesn't always appear as spiritual as that. Okay? In other words, it may not be a, okay, everybody bow your heads now. We're going to say a formal prayer. But there's still just living in his presence is about abiding. And just you begin to hear, and it's almost an unspoken communication in which you begin to make decisions. And the issues of life, let them just kind of line up. Does anybody know what I'm saying? I'm struggling to communicate this from my heart, but I'm trying to just speak from my heart about this because I believe this is so important because this is the purpose of the church. Again, don't think institution, think family. Don't think building, think people. Think sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, grandparents. I mean, whose grandparent was ever present for them? It changes your life. Because it just speaks to the deepest parts of your soul. And that's what the glory is. That's what the presence of God is in the spiritual realm for us. What is this glory like? Well, the Hebrew word, and a lot of you know this, is kabod. Right? Here's what the definition of this is. Weightiness. Isn't that interesting? Why is the first English word given to the presence of God weightiness? Which is substantial or heavy, it reads. It's also glory, honor, splendor, power, wealth, authority, magnificence, fame, dignity, riches, and excellency. The root of kabod is to be heavy, glorious, notable, or to be renowned. In the Old Testament, heaviness represented honor and substance, while lightness was equated with vanity, instability, temporariness, and emptiness. Kabod is God's glory, not only his honor, renown, and majesty, but also his visible splendor, which filled Solomon's temple and will someday, according to the Bible, fill the whole earth. Who likes the glory? I like to talk about the glory of God because it starts to manifest the more you talk about it. Now, sometimes when we think of the word glory, we think about the honor and renown and the majesty part. And that is true. That's a very important part. We give all glory to God is a phrase. In other words, we give all honor or recognition to him. Yet, why do we do that? Because he's God among us. Because he's God with us. Because his weighty presence, a lot of times, is upon us. Spiritually and sometimes even physically, his glory is weighty. This commentary that I read, the definition of kabod, let me just give you a snapshot. In the Old Testament, the second king of Israel, sorry, the third, there was King David with the second, then his son Solomon. Solomon had the honor of finishing the temple for the Lord. It wasn't David's job to do that. He just got the blueprints. But his boy Solomon was the one who did that. And there was a great time of rejoicing in 2 Chronicles 5 where it was finally time to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. Okay, why is that important? Because before the book of Acts, that was where the kabod was located. We celebrated Pentecost last week. I was talking to you about the promise, his presence, and your purpose. Okay? The reason why that is so important is because at this time in history, the presence was just in this one location. It was in that ark that had like the Ten Commandments and some of the relics of the history of what God had done in the wilderness. And they carried that because as they carried that around with them, it was the kabod of God. It was the glory, the weighty presence of God. And so now Solomon's excited because they finally finished building the temple, which God had instructed. And now it's time to bring the ark in. And it says in 2 Chronicles 5:13, "Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." How many know that's a good day in church?
Yeah.
Everybody was saying amen back then, Jamal. I mean, you were getting a lot of hallelujahs, I promise you. Because when the manifest presence of God shows up, I don't know, it's almost like you can't help yourself.
Yeah.
Like something shifts. Have you ever walked into sort of a weird atmosphere, not just in church, but I just mean anywhere? Like, anybody know, like, it's like, what is up with that section of town? Or what? Yeah, like, I go here and I just get the heebie-jeebies. Everybody kind of knows, I get a lot of head nods. Everybody kind of knows what that feels like in a negative sense. Now, what about the positive sense? Like, when I walk into that house, it just feels like, wow, there's a lot of something in here. It's not just home cooking. Like, this... there is something different in the atmosphere. You really have to pay attention to that because it's not just your imagination. It's not just, no, it is light and darkness. And this is what happens, because what's happening when they're bringing in the ark? Worship team's up, right? I mean, they got the cymbals, the trumpets, their musical instruments, whatever those are. They're using those things. And what song? I thought this is so key. What song do they begin to sing? They're not singing about how scary God is and, you know, how much his judgments are waiting to fill the earth. What's the lyric that they're saying? Here it is. For he is good and his mercy endures forever. For he is good. If I had a song to put with that, some music. And his mercy endures forever. Now, this is in the old covenant, y'all. I don't know about you, but sometimes you feel like in the old covenant, is God really that good? Because, I mean, there was a lot happening. Let's just put it that way. But I want to submit to you that even from the very beginning, this is the song of heaven. Is that our God is good. And he's full of mercy and kindness to 1,000 generations for those who love him. God is in a good mood. When he looks at you, he has a big old smile on his face. He sends you emojis that are just like, you know. God is in a good mood because his mercy has endured. And his son has made a way to restore relationship with his heart. And so his table is big and full. And the invitation is broad and wide. Yeah. And his presence is there. And when the priests came in, they couldn't even minister. The implication is that they maybe couldn't even stand up. And have you ever been in a situation like that where... And this happened to a few folks last Sunday. You know, we were just praying, and a few people, like, did better on the floor. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, I have a heart for people who, like, they've never seen that before. You know, and that's like, I was talking to a young lady the other day about just the Holy Spirit. And in response to my message last week, I was asking, who grew up in a church where you didn't even know about the Holy Spirit? Like, it wasn't, you know, she was kind of one of those who had grown up that way. And I was thinking about our conversation this week. I was like, wow. So someone who just sees somebody get prayed for is like, did they pass out? Like, you know, is there something? No. Just think about this weightiness. Sometimes, not always, but the physical response to it is within even your physical body. You can just feel like, ooh. Raise your hand if you've ever felt that before. Okay, wow, I'm preaching to the choir. Metaphorically. It'd be great to have a choir one day, but... And then the other thing that we've experienced was in like Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came on everybody. And apparently, some of the people who weren't getting it thought they were drunk. You know? And I jokingly say Peter's response was, no, they're not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. The bar's not even open yet. He's trying to communicate this idea. But there's this intoxication that the presence of God brings upon us. Has anybody ever experienced that? You could describe it as a giddiness. Definitely in negative intoxication, there's a removal of inhibitions. I definitely experienced that. Of just the presence of God coming upon me, and I prayed something or prayed over somebody or did something and literally thought, was that me? Like, did I actually just do that? What is that? When we talk about the anointing, the anointing is just another smearing or another word for the kabod. It's the weighty glory of God. And the reason I keep talking about this is because the church is meant to be full of that. Because there's deep darkness in the earth, and he's the answer for that darkness, is that weightiness upon us. So sometimes Christians like us are, I would say, unfairly criticized as just being about emotion or experience. No, actually, it's because of an experience with him that I have anything that I have, that I'm anything that I am. His word leads me into an encounter with him. And in fact, his word is a testimony of experiences and encounters across human history. So those aren't in conflict with one another. Those are complementary to one another because it's his presence. It's his kabod. This is the role of the church. Are y'all all right?
All right.
I'm going to finish. I'm going to land this plane. This was the... This is the role of the temple. Then and now. We are, the Bible says in the New Testament, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the glory and presence is meant to fill us. Is meant to fill us because he is good and his mercy endures forever. When we sing, play instruments unto the Lord, worship Jesus, the glory of the Lord fills the room. And, you know, my biggest dream is that the cloud of his presence fills us and nobody can do anything. Nobody can sing. Nobody can play. Nobody can preach. And we're just all receiving straight from heaven. You know, and I'll be honest with you. I've been in seasons in church community where I would come looking for the cloud, like at Azusa Street. Like in 1906, this church in L.A. just had 3 years of a physical cloud. It was a spiritual, but it physically manifested. And I've read the stories. I mean, everything happened there, from this guy who had an arm severed in a railroad accident. Like his arm began to grow out, like right in front of people's eyes. I mean, it just... There's a book called They Told Me Their Stories, and it's eyewitness firsthand of people who were children and teenagers at Azusa Street. It's about 100 years ago, a little more now. And around the 100th anniversary, the pastor of that thing that happened there was named William Seymour. He prophesied towards the end of that in 1909 that about 100 years later, there would be a return of that manifestation of the presence of God, except for it wouldn't just be in one place. It would be widespread. So around 2009, man, the Lord was really moving our church, or a few years before that. And I would go in every Sunday like, is this today, Lord? I'm like, I realized that it was a little bit of spiritual immaturity on my part, immaturity. But I was just hungry. I'm like, man, is the cloud in here today? Anybody see a cloud? Do I spot a mist over there? You know, you're just like so hungry. Prophet Itami, sorry, I got his name wrong. They had that happen, and I've seen that happen in a few other locations. The actual manifestation is not the most important thing. It's just a sign unto something. But I believe the hunger in our hearts just to know his presence, just to be with him. I believe that's what God really honors. Because trust me, I believe he wants to be with you more than you want to be with him. I mean, he really does. He's just a good dad. And what dad doesn't want to be around their kids? I mean, honestly, like every good dad wants to really spend time, really wants quality time with their kids. And that's who your father is. Whew. We'll see addictions broken. We'll see depression leave. I believe in counseling. I believe there's, you know, places for 12-step programs. But I also know just one touch from the master. I mean, a lifetime of addiction could be gone in just one touch. So we'll go for all of the above. You know, I love what Dr. Dawkins does. It's so powerful. You know, I love what other people in our church do of meeting with people and walking through paths of healing. It's so powerful. And we'll take when the Lord just shows up and everybody gets free. Every blind eye is open. Every cancer cell is destroyed. Boom! God just does it. Now, I would encourage you. He's doing it. It's happening around the earth. You can look. You can search. You can look online. You can find the testimonies. All right, I'm going to stay focused here so I can get this done. Do y'all remember when Judas the betrayer came to arrest Jesus? This is in John 18, and he was leading the priests and Pharisees. He had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and the temple guard to accompany him, and they came with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons. And they arrived at the olive grove. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him. So he stepped forward to meet them. And who are you looking for? He asked. Jesus the Nazarene, they replied. And he says, I am. Man, when the I am shows up, it's like he said to Moses, or Moses said, who should I tell Pharaoh that is sending me? He said, I am that I am. Search in your concordance how many times the I am shows up. It's not Sam I am. It's like I am the I am everything. Jesus says this word and look what happens. Jesus said, and Judas who betrayed him was standing with them. As Jesus said, I am, they all drew back and fell to the ground. That is a funny part of the Passion story, isn't it? One word. When one word comes from heaven, what's literally happening here is the kabod. The glory just fell and they couldn't stand up. I don't believe Jesus had violent intent. I don't think he's trying to show them violence, because if that were the case, he could have called a legion of angels and just wiped them out and taken care of it. No, he's just exercising his authority as Yahweh God and says, I am. And when he said, whoo, I've been in meetings in the early 90s where like whole sections of this room fell onto the floor out of their chair. I don't know how to explain that. I do know how to explain it. It's called the weighty glory of God coming to the room. But the point is not people falling on the floor. The point is the fruit of what God does in those encounters. Just one moment in his presence and your whole life can be changed. Does your heart hunger for that? I know it does. Mine does. Finally, his glory is his goodness. His glory is his goodness. His glory is his presence. His glory is his goodness. The final passage this morning is in Exodus 33. As Moses is seeking direction from the Lord while leading the Israelites through the desert, it says in Exodus 33, verse 7, Moses took his tent. As we read through these few verses, I want you to note the presence here. And 2 Corinthians 4 says, if the presence of the Old Testament was this strong, how much more will the presence or the glory of the New Covenant be? That makes my heart hungry. But just note what's happening here. He took his tent, he pitched it outside, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle door. Wait, I skipped a line. At the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Do you see the communion there? Do you see the intimacy there? This wasn't just some distant, far away, fiery God waiting for lightning bolts to get people. No, this is from the very beginning. He's been a loving father, waiting to have relationship with his sons and daughters, just like he did here with Moses. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, well, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, well, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. What is his goodness? It's his glory. What is his glory? It's his goodness. They're inseparable. He says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Our Father is full of grace and compassion. That is his heart from the beginning. And like Moses said, Lord, don't take us up from here if your presence isn't going with us. I just often say to the Lord, Lord, whatever the future of our church may be, let your presence go with us and we'll be okay. I don't really want to go anywhere without his kabbalah. I don't really want to do anything without his presence. You know, us humans, we can create some really good ideas. But sometimes good ideas aren't God's ideas. It doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means it's his presence leading it. There's a whole nother sermon on that. Y'all stand up with me. I'm going to stop. But I just want to invite the presence of God here. Because perhaps, you know, you're somebody who's just been desperately waiting, just needing one touch, just needing family to stand with you. And I just want to pray that his presence and his weightiness will come upon you. And you know, I'm not looking for people to fall down. If that happens, fine. That's not really the point. The point is him. The point is his love, his compassion, and his goodness. The point is that he is full of mercy, waiting to pour out his goodness on whoever calls upon him. So you want to do that with me this morning?
Yeah.
Jesus, we look to you. You are the answer to all of life, all of life's issues. You are the one worthy of all of our praise in the good times and the successes. And so I just invite you, Holy Spirit, come now. Woo. Just fall upon us, presence of God. We just thank you. We just look to you, God. We're just hungry for more of you. Sometimes, Lord, we haven't experienced a felt presence in a long, long time. And I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to break through on us. To break through, Lord. That we can know that we know that you are with us, God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. If you're experiencing, you just feel the Lord on you, I just want to invite you to come on up front here. And you know, I'm not going to keep you. If you need to leave, you can feel free to be dismissed. I just pray for God's kabod to be upon you, for his grace to go with you, for his presence to be upon you, for you to go in glory and goodness. So bless you. We love you. We thank God for you and all that he's doing in your lives. You can totally feel free. But if anybody would like to just kind of hang around and pray up here, I just wanted to invite you to come on up. And we'll just lay hands on you and just see God touch you. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I just feel like I just want to invite you to lean into the Holy Spirit right now. You know, I just feel this thing that, like, some of you may have come here today with real need, in need of the Lord. This morning, I just want to give, you know, sometimes we just have to give ourselves permission to tarry a little bit with the Lord. Say, Lord, I need you. I'm in need of you, Lord. I want to taste and see that you are good. I want you to show me your glory, Lord. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory, Lord. Just as Judah plays, because one thing I have known in Judah's life is anytime he picked up the guitar and would start playing, it was like the presence of the Lord would just come in the room. And I just want to encourage you just to let the Lord encounter you right now. Lord, we're in need of you, Lord. If we've come, if anybody has come in here just with just a longing in your heart, you can just put out your hands, stretch out your hands to the Lord right now. Just say, we invite you, Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit, Lord. We give you permission, Lord. We give you permission to come and do what only you can do, Lord. We want to see you face to face. We set our attention, we set our eyes on you right now, Lord. One touch, God. to go or to stay. To go or to keep tearing. Whichever way you're feeling right now. I just want to let everybody be free right now in this moment.
Thank you.
Chain out of Wisconsin. So all of their cheese, dairy, all that stuff is fresh from like Wisconsin. Yeah.
Well, that's the place for cheese.
Oh yeah. It's they got
like
cheese
the
curds.
Land of cheese over there.
They have like these pretzel bites that got cheese dip.
No! Oh man. That's gonna mess me up thinking about
Culver's,
that.
Culver's, C-U-L-V-E-R-S.
Okay.
It's right off the closest one I think will be off of if you're coming off the toll road off of 64.
Okay.
You're at 64 in Cary.
Okay.
It's amazing, bro.
Okay. Oh, I'm gonna try
sometimes
that.
Sometimes I just drive
We're
down there,
go there
just to go, bro.
And this is the kind of thing that I'm into more so than Lucy.
Oh yeah.
It's just part of it. I mean, men and women are convinced. Different taste buds. Like if you take 50 random men and you line them up and say what's your favorite food,
yeah,
probably like something between 45 and so are gonna say steak.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I just do not think you're going to get the same answer if you line up a bunch of women.
You got a good point. You got a good point. Ain't nothing like a good steak, man.
But, you know, when we go on these dates, we got to pick a place we both love.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that ends up
Got to compromise.
Yeah. Maybe what we need is some kind of a bros men's night or something like that. You got to go to a place.
So what places y'all normally go? Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me stop this.